Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of John chapter 13, and we will continue our series of lessons through the book of John. John chapter 13. Let us stand together as we read from John chapter 13. We'll begin reading at verse 36, and then we'll go into some of the greatest words found in the New Testament, ending at verse 6 of chapter 14. Simon Peter said unto him, that being Jesus, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the love of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you were willing to send Jesus to die for us. And Lord, if there is one here today that doesn't know thee as Savior, may this be that day that they will follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Title of our lesson today is I Am, and it's not the first time that we have had an I Am message. And excuse me for once again for having to preach from a sitting position. We do hope that soon this back of mine will calm down enough that I'm able to stand through the whole service. But the Gospel of John has some great and encouraging verses. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Aren't we glad that Jesus came and dwelt among man, even though he had to die for your sins and for mine? John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Folks, as good as we are, we're all sinners. And Jesus died for sinners. He says he came to seek and to save them that were lost. The greatest verse, some would say, in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 8:12, then spake Jesus, I am the light of the world. We live in a dark world, folks. And the only light is Jesus, and there are those who are trying to put out the light. Oh, they may succeed in darkening it a little bit, but the light will continue to shine. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm glad that Jesus was willing to die for me. You know, I'm glad that we do not have to try to work our way to heaven. I know this, I know my life well enough that if I had to work my way to heaven, I'd miss by one work. That's just simply the way my life has been. But I know this, that Jesus never fails, and that he has willing to save our souls if we're willing to come to him. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But may I say, is there any greater verse in the book of John than John 14:6? I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We find at the end of chapter 13 a warning. Now, I don't really remember. I believe it was called Lost in Space. I think the Robinson family, was it Lost in Space? And do you remember the robot? He was the only one I liked. Do you remember him saying, warning, warning, warning? I always liked that. Peter, warning. To each one that is here, warning, be careful that we do not betray our Lord. Notice what Jesus said in verse 38. Jesus answered to him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Now, let me ask you this. Does Peter eventually lay down his life for the Lord? Yes, he was. History has it, tradition has it, that he was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to be crucified the same as his Lord. And he was willing to die for his Lord, but at this point in time, he was just a bunch of hot air. And Jesus says unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Not just once, Peter. Three times you're going to deny me. Warning, Peter, be careful. And can I say this to all of you? Be careful. Our enemy, the great deceiver of the world, the great deceiver of many, desires to bring you down. He wants to bring me down. He wants to bring you down. And rarely when we come down, do we come down alone. We bring down others with us. But now in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Do you have heart trouble? I'm not necessarily talking about are you on some medicine because you have high blood pressure. I'm not asking if you have a heart pump. I'm not asking if you have stents. I'm asking, do you have heart trouble where your heart is troubled emotionally? Spiritually. You know, I got the text this morning and about little Denny and Sharon. I was concerned. You know, when your grandchild has an issue, that can create heart problems. I'm glad that things aren't quite maybe as bad as they thought. But good. But we're sad when we hear of people who have issues. And may I say this, heart troubles can be caused by various things. Ill health. When I was going through the worst of my back problems, my wife was looking at me and she's crying, and because my wife is crying, I'm crying. And I tell you, I want to tell you how bad it got, folks. I told Donna, I said, why don't you let one of the dogs sleep with us? That just tells you, folks, where I was. Delirious. And so I figured she'd get Oreo. I mean, she's the sweetest of the three dogs. And I figured even though she snores, it'd be all right. Well, of course, Bandit and that other one. They were jealous. And the next thing I knew, all three dogs were up there. But one of them snores, and Donna put them away. But you know, when you have ill health, or someone you know has ill health, it can create heart issues, can't it? How about death? Over last night at my dad's house, and we were eating some spaghetti and more, and you that know my dad and talk to him for very much time know that almost immediately he turns the subject to my mother. And last night, he was showing us their wedding picture and telling me that the building where they were married is where I also was baptized. And for many years, because our church did not have a baptistry at that time, we would go down to the Gilead Baptist Church and we'd have baptism down there. But not only did we talk about my mother, but we began to talk about my brother Bob, who passed away about 21 years ago. You know, there's something about death that can cause problems to the heart. How about the loss of income? You ever lost a job? Been laid off? Been fired? Been told not to come back? How about disappointment? You ever been disappointed in life? And I'm not talking about the fact that the Red Wings probably aren't going to make the playoffs this year. Have you ever been disappointed? Been disappointed by someone or someones? Have you ever been disappointed by something maybe you did and you regretted what you said or what you did and there's no turning back and there was hurt caused and disappointment? Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe you've lost a friend or friends. Heartbreak. Jesus is going to die. He's told them over and over again that he is going to be arrested and he's going to be tried and he's going to be beaten and he is going to be crucified. And it is time. It's time. Just as there was an appointed time for Jesus to come, there was an appointed time for him to die. You know, they came after him a number of times and the scriptures tell us it wasn't his time. It is now his time. And he is going to go to the garden so that he can be arrested. And he tells his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. Wait a minute. Jesus, you're our leader. You have been our rabbi. You have been the one who has taught us and you have instructed us and you're going to die and you don't want us to be brokenhearted. No, because there's a great day coming. And isn't there a great day coming for the believer? I tell you what, there is. The end is near, but Jesus said, and do you find it interesting? Jesus is not just going to go to bed and die. He is going to be beaten. They're going to pluck his beard. They're going to pull his hair. They're going to crown him with a crown of thorns. He's going to be beaten with a whip. He's going to have to carry a cross. And he tells them, don't let your heart be troubled. Yes, I'm going through this, but it must be done. Notice, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God is in control? That's the title of our sermon tonight, is about God is in control. Do you truly believe that God is in control? Even when you go through hard times? Even when you're so sick that you ask your wife to let the dog get on the bed with you? I tell you what, how strong is your faith in the fact that Jesus is in control, that God is sovereign, that God rules? Verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Doesn't that excite you that we will be able to be with Jesus Christ? I mean, we sing the songs and we pray too and we read the scriptures, but do you look forward to actually touching Jesus? What a day that's going to be when our Jesus we shall see. And he takes us by the hand and he leads us through heaven's glory. What a day that's going to be. But he's gone to prepare a place for you. There's the song, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your sins? He has a place for us. A number of years ago, my wife, our two sons, myself, went to Colorado with Donna's mother and dad. And we headed out on one day. I don't remember what day it was. It really doesn't matter. And as we were drawing near the Chicago area, it was decided that we were going to stop for the night. And Donna's mother had made a reservation. And so we got to the hotel and went inside. And they looked at us and said, "We're full." And Donna's mother was quick to say, "Well, that's all right. We have reservations for two rooms." And they looked at her and said, "No, you don't." Isn't that a terrible feeling? And I still remember the reason that, maybe I should say the reason I still remember is they got us a place over at some bug-infested motel. Have you ever slept in your clothes on top of the covers? Yes, that's about the way it was in this place. It was not good. But it's good when you have a reservation and they'd say, "Hey, we've got it for you." Do you have a reservation in heaven? Are you prepared? See, the Lord has gone to prepare a place for prepared people. And he says that I have gone and there are many mansions. There's plate room for everybody. Take your Bibles, if you will, and quickly go to Matthew 7, keeping your place here in John. Matthew 7. And we find here this story, this parable, that there are two ways in which people can go in their life. And in Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14, Jesus speaking says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Folks, it's important that we enter in at the straight gate. That's important. But may I say this, it is not as glamorous as the other gate. Boy, the other gate looks exciting. The other gate looks appealing. The other gate has all the attractions that draw men and women. And he says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." In the book of John, it says that he has gone to prepare a place for many. But unfortunately, the many are going in the wrong direction. They're not going to the right place. Verse 14 says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Always through the Word of God, we find that God has a remnant. Rarely does He have the majority. But we should thank God if we are part of the few that are going in at the straight gate. Again, in the book of John chapter 14, He lets us know that there is plenty of room for any who will come. Who will come? A couple of nights ago, my wife and I were in the car, and it was nighttime, and shining in the light were those spotlights. And she was reminiscing that when she was a child, that she liked to lay in the front lawn and look up at the spotlights and try to figure out what it was all about. I was told by a friend of mine they were spotlights trying to find German airplanes. I believed him. But how many of you have seen those lights? You've seen them spots and you wonder where they're at. And once in a while you drive by a place and there's this huge light and it's shining and they're trying to draw people to that place. How many of you have ever stopped because of the spotlights? Any of you? Have any of you ever stopped? I see one hand, I see two hands. That means the majority of us, all of us, have seen the lights, but we've never done anything about it, have we? No. Well, we've seen them. Maybe you drove by, but you didn't do anything about it. How many of you have seen the light of the Lord, but don't stop? They continue on. May I say this, Satan's desire is to blind us, to confuse us, to take us in a different direction. Is he good at it? Oh, he's very good at it. He's been practicing it for a long, long time. And may I say this? He knows what attracts you. He knows. And he will try to pull you away. Be careful. Every one of us is human. And we can't outbattle Satan. When he comes, we're to draw near to the Lord, aren't we? Because he is victorious. Our Lord can get the job done. Oh, we find now verses 4 through 6. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've told you the story, and I'm just going to say a little bit of it. And if you've heard the story, be kind and listen as I go through a little bit of this story. A number of years ago, when I say a number of years ago, it could mean 4 years, it could mean 50 years, okay? Though it doesn't mean go quite 50 years. My son Matthew was in the fourth grade, and Brian was in the first grade. And I wanted to go to Tennessee. Now, there's always a good reason to go to Tennessee. Do I hear an amen on that? And I wanted to go to Tennessee, and I wanted to go to the Virgin Falls Pocket Wilderness. Now, if you've never been to the Virgin Falls Pocket Wilderness, may I encourage you to go soon? That's not for you to laugh at. That's for you to take seriously. And so I told Donna, I said, I'm going to go. Yeah. And she goes, Paul, it's March. Well, I figured I could go. I could camp there at one of the state parks. And so Donna said, you're not going by yourself. And so I took Matthew and Brian with me. I took them out of school. And I still remember this. As we left Michigan, there was a couple of inches of snow on the ground. And I'm figuring, okay, when we get to Tennessee, there's not going to be any snow on the ground. And there wasn't. And we went to a state park, and we camped in the car. We put a heater in the car, and we ate, you know, very inexpensively. We had sandwiches and cereal and whatnot, and that night we would go out to eat. And so it was time to go to the Virgin Falls. Now, you say, Pastor Paul, how did you know about the Virgin Falls? Now, the reason I knew about it is I had been walking through the lobby of Fall Creek Falls Resort Area. And they had a picture of Virgin Falls. And I asked the person at the counter, I said, that picture that you have displaying there, I said, do you know where that waterfall is? And the person looked at me and said, no. I was very disappointed. And so they called someone else over and they said, do you know where this waterfall is that we have displayed in our lobby? And they said, well, yes, it's near Sparta, Tennessee. Anybody ever been to Sparta, Tennessee? Yes, well, you were near Virgin Falls. I don't know if you went there, but yeah. And so you know what I did? I headed for Sparta. Now, this was before the trip I'm talking about, okay? So Donna and the kids, and we headed off for Sparta. And I've told you how that when we got to Sparta, the first thing I did is I stopped at a gas station. I want you to know that this man is not afraid to stop and ask for directions. Okay? I have found it's easier to live with that woman if I'm willing to stop. When she says stop, I stop. Okay? I would rather her be upset at them than me. And I pulled into the Shell station, and I got out, and I asked the gas station attendant. It was back during the days when they would pump your gas. Do you remember that, when they would pump your gas and wash your windows and maybe check your air and your tires? Do you remember those days? Well, of course, now the person that pumps my gas washes my windows and checks my air and my tire. That's right. It's me. Very good. And the person at the gas station did not know where Sparta Falls was. Not Sparta, but Virgin Falls was. Though he had heard of it. which I think is a good thing. But when you live within 10 miles of a beautiful waterfall, don't you think you should know where it's at? Don't you think if you go to church on a regular basis, you should know the Savior? I think so. But what was the greatest thing was that a person was pulling into the gas station right then who knew. In fact, the gas station attendant said, "That man is going to know what you want." And he did. And he gave me instructions. He said, "You go down this way about 5 miles. He says, "You're going to find this old store. It's closed up." And he gave me the name of the store. He says, "You can still read it on the sign." He says, "You're going to turn right." He says, "You're going to go 5 miles. You're going to see a sign. And that sign is going to say, this is where you want to be." Was he right? Absolutely. You know, it's good when someone knows how to get you to where you want to go. Do you want to go to heaven? Who knows the way? Jesus knows the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." So if Jesus knows the way and he says he is the way, should we try to go another way? No. So let me explain to you. When we got there a few years later, it took us a couple of trips before we finally got to Virgin Falls, because it was about a 12-mile round trip, and that's here nor there. But when my sons and I were trying to find it, I misread the map, and we walked 45 minutes in the wrong direction. You know what's wrong with walking 45 minutes in the wrong direction? You gotta come back. But we read the map again and we figured it out. Folks, the map's here. But you know the problem with a lot of people in a lot of churches today? They haven't read the map. They haven't read the scriptures. Jesus said, "I am the way." He says, "I am the truth." There are a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of religion out there, but there's only one way to heaven. There aren't multiple ways. I don't care what society wants to tell us, that we're all trying to get to the same place. We may all be trying to get to the same place, but there's only one way. And you try another way, the Bible tells you you're like a robber and a thief. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And we find here Jesus is the life. But you know, one of the most important part of verse 6 is this: "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I am the way. You can't get to the Heavenly Father but through me. If we are going to know Jesus Christ, the Savior, we can have eternal life. But if we're trying to have eternal life through our own merits, we're not going to have it. I do hope today that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and that you're following Him. Shall we stand together? An invitation song this morning, 401, "Only Trust Him." You may want to come and pray here at the altar. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to have someone show you what you have to do to know Him as Lord. But maybe you'd like to come and say, "Lord, I've drifted. I need to get things right." Come on down and pray. The altar is not a place of shame. It's a place where we get things right. And if you need to pray, pray by yourself, that's fine. If you want someone to pray with you, we'll have someone pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless this invitation time. And Lord, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you love us. And you want us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.